Do you find that you don't have enough time to customize your lessons and materials in the way that you want for your students?
In this episode of the Diesel Podcast, we're going to give you some ideas to get you organized with AI before you teach.
Welcome to the Diesel Podcast, where we focus on developing innovation in English as a second or other language. I am Brent Warner, professor of ESL at Irvine Valley College, and I'm joined, as always, with Ishel Reyes, award-winning instructor and teacher trainer and all sorts of other wonderful things. Ishel, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Excited about today's topic.
Yeah. So, we're on episode 99 here, so there's going to be a few changes coming up. We'll talk about it in a minute, but I think we really want to jump into the topic today, which is AI conversation. So, Ishel, you did a presentation for some of your colleagues recently.
Yeah, and you did one too.
Yeah.
Or you've done several recently, yeah.
Yeah. We've both been doing
all around AI and how to use it.
Yeah. And so one of the things that kind of came up was this idea that, you know, there's separate ways to use things, right? So some teachers, a lot of teachers are really talking about how can they use it to prep and to get things going. There's also using AI directly with your students. And finally, there's... kind of using it for assessment and all of those types of things. So kind of before class, during class, and after class. And so today we kind of want to talk a little bit about that idea of using it before class, right? And so, Ishel, yeah. I know that you had some conversations with your colleagues about that, and I think that's where we're going to jump in.
All right. So first, it's important to start with maybe a big level overview. And this is particularly... specific to maybe when you know that what you'll be teaching for that semester or that term. And so we want to start with curriculum building.
Yeah. So curriculum building for sure. So like you're given a class, you know what you're going to be doing, right? You kind of have this idea for things. And by the way, we can take these ideas to like, sometimes teachers just get thrown into a class with no instruction, right? And so actually, I think the AI conversation really would help out a lot there. So, but kind of take these ideas and apply them to your situation. But we're going to kind of imagine at least you know what's going on, what you're supposed to be teaching. And so let's start with the conversation around just bots. So, Ishel, which bot are you using right now primarily?
Well, I've sort of moved on to Copilot.
Okay.
I'm again testing it out, seeing what kind of output it gives me and if I have to do a lot of refinement. And so I sort of got tired of the layout of ChatGPT. And Copilot, it looks a little fresher and crisper to my eyes right now. So, but I jump between the two of them.
Okay. So
what have you been using?
I still use GPT for the most part, but actually right now, if you go into Gemini, so Google changed the name from Bard to Gemini. And by the way, Copilot is Microsoft's new name from, which used to be Bing, right? So it's all messy, but anyway, so Gemini right now is giving a 2 free month, access to their advanced level, their paid version. And so if you go into Gemini right now, gemini.google.com, you can play with that as well. So I'm experimenting with both, but the idea here is if you go into whichever one you use, you can tell the bot some of these things, right? Number one, what level is the class that you're working with? And Ishel, I would suggest that you be really specific with this, right? So you can't really just say beginner or intermediate or advanced, and that's a kind of a problem,
or
right?
English learners. Right. We're all English learners.
Yeah, so you have to say something like Cepher level A1, right? Or, mm-hmm. you know, B2 or whatever level your class is. Mm-hmm. Or if you have a TOEFL score that your class is generally at, or whatever system you use, to be more specific, because then the bot can kind of understand and make adjustments for those levels. And then the things that you would put in would be your SLOs, so your student learning outcomes, whatever you're expecting the students to learn, or the objectives. A few other things you're going to put in there is how long is your semester, how many times per week are you meeting, and then how long is each meeting, right? So if you put all that information in, and of course you're going to say what the name of the class is or whatever else it is, put that in, write it out as a sentence or a paragraph and tell it, hey, these are all the things that I'm trying to do, and I want to build a 16-week curriculum or a 10-week curriculum or an outline for it. Then that's when things are going to get started. But that's not it, right?
Yeah, and then it's important that if you don't like the results, you've got to refine what you're looking for. You got to dig in. Perhaps this semester you're teaching the same class again, but you have holidays that are upcoming, or maybe you have midterms that you want to account for. So you want to talk to the bot and ask for it to customize those. You've really got to think of the bot as an assistant. Mm. So as specific as you can be, will give you better results. And the important thing is don't quit just because you didn't like that initial result. Remember that you're investing in that long-term ability to use what it's giving you, right?
Yeah, well,
it should be saving you time. Especially if you're teaching a brand new class and you don't know what to do, they suddenly give you, you're teaching computer skills for 10 weeks, for the next 10 weeks, and you haven't taught it before. Mm. Well, this will make it a little less hard.
Yeah. Well, I think also going back to that idea of talking to it like it's an assistant, right? When you're talking to a person and you're mm-hmm. trying to do these things, they're not always going to make what you wanted, right? Like, hey, right. They don't really set things up, or maybe you weren't as clear as you could have been, or maybe you have to make adjustments and say, hold on a second, I like this, but let's make some changes here. And you have mm-hmm. to be willing to do that same thing with the AI, right? And I think that's where a lot of people end up giving up, is they're like, oh, it's not that great. I mean, it's cool, but.
Or it's not human. It got this
wrong. Yeah, yeah. And it's
they just want to prove that it got it wrong. Yeah,
as if somehow humans are always getting things right, right? I keep kind of laughing about that concept. It's like, oh, it's so bad. Like, you know, and it's like, well, humans are way less logical than all of this, but we work with them, right, to sort it out. So I think really digging in and having deeper conversations and being ready to say, okay, hold on a second, I'm going to work with this and see what comes out. And then the next thing inside of there too is you might say, hey, hold on a second, I don't like what you did for week two. Can we switch week three and week two and then readjust the new week three, right? And so it's, oh, okay, and it'll mm-hmm. do all that stuff for you, right? So we're so trained to kind of think of things as like a one and done, and then you know, you can't work with it anymore. But really this is about that iterative process. And so as you're building that curriculum mm-hmm. or that outline, work with it in sections and say, hey, I want to focus in on this part right now. Okay, now I want to go back to the big idea. And it's capable of doing all of those things, which is pretty amazing. Okay, so Ishel, next we're going to talk about lesson plans. So how do you approach your lesson plans, right? What do you do when you're thinking about your lesson plans?
Mm-hmm. I usually go by theme. Mm-hmm. It helps me to organize looking at the theme. Because everything is, our curriculum is integrated. Mm. So I go by themes, and then and it's a day by day type. Got to finish this on day one, got to finish this on day two, day three, etc. So it's kind of a blend of both of those.
Okay. Okay. So you're kind of bringing them together. And so some people do it like, hey, mm-hmm. this is what I'm doing on this day, this is what I'm doing on that day. Some people who kind of have the little bit old school style of connecting it directly to a textbook, for example, they're like, I'm going to do chapter one, chapter mm-hmm. two, whatever else it is. And so whatever you're doing, you can put that in, right? So you can say, hey, let's mm-hmm. build a lesson plan for this day, or let's build a series mm-hmm. of lesson plans for this theme, right? And so again, it will build those lesson plans out, right? And you can say, hey, I've got 90 mm-hmm. minutes, break this down, make sure to include opportunities for students to interact with each other, make sure to include potential extension activities if we run out of time. All of these things that we kind of we know inherently are supposed to be there, but if you tell it, those things will be added in, and it's wonderful because then you're like, oh, okay, I don't have to worry if the timing's right, or, you know, if I don't have enough, like, we always have a way to make supplemental materials inside of here. And sometimes mm-hmm. I've spent hours just going, well, what if it's not long enough, right? I'm going to teach this 1 hour mm-hmm. class, and then I'm spending 3 hours thinking about, like, what other things I can add just in case I run out of time. So now you can actually just have these things, and teachers with experience probably have a tool belt with them, but it's nice to just be able to say, let's get some variety, not always max, you know, doing the same things or mixing it up a little bit. So so it works really well.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember that you've got to fine-tune as you go along, as we would with anything else. If we didn't have ChatGPT or any of these bots, we would be fine-tuning, right? We would be fine-tuning the lesson. We would go home and think about what went wrong, what could I have done differently, and we make notes for ourselves, hopefully, so that the next time we're teaching it, we take that into account. But it's the same thing with these bots. I think it's important to remember that the bot or any of these AIs doesn't really replace who you are.
Right.
You've got to bring your own style to it. And I think that's what we see when we have the output from a chat bot, but we don't remember that it actually would have taken a human such a long time, sometimes the whole span of teaching that class for that semester to learn those lessons, right?
Yeah.
And so we've got to work with the technology so that it actually gives us good feedback.
Yeah. And I want to take that back to a little bit of, you know, old school or like learning how to teach conversation, right? Back in the day, like if you were teaching out of a book, right, the book would often give you the lesson plans and say, this is how you do it, right? But then as a teacher, you would still go in and make the changes and go, I don't want to do this part, or I do want to do that part, right? And so it's the same thing, right? It's that don't be, you know, beholden to what it's putting out, right? You can say, hey, I'm going to make my own adjustments. These are all just suggestions. And so keeping that in mind is really important.
Yeah. And I think the neat part here is, what if you need a sub for that week and you already have, you need sub plans, for example, you can ask the bot to be like, hey, I have create substitute plans, or, you know, another version for week three, because perhaps you've got surgery or whatnot. But this is a lot less, I would call it stress-free, because I remember when I used to have to come up with sub lesson plans and I was like, but I don't want to give them the lesson I would have taught, because
they can't do it.
That's my good lesson. And I want, and it would require them knowing all of these things that I did beforehand, and who knows who the sub is. And so I think, or someone who steps into the classroom that hasn't taught but has to sub, or a brand new teacher, it just gives you like a skeleton to work from.
Yeah.
And you're not going to obviously let that replace you.
Well, that sub thing is just awesome too, because it's like, because you're sick or whatever's going on, you're like, I can't do it. But like, so many teachers spend hours trying to build these sub plans out at the last minute. And now it's like, I'm just going to give something.
And you might not even need.
Yeah. And it's like, now you've got like a 5 minutes of thing. Hey, here's the things we've already done. Let's do a review class for the subbing. Or, you know, I want you to introduce just these basic concepts and here's how to do it. And then that's good enough. Right. So there's like a feeling of a sigh of relief just to be able to make sub plans really quickly, especially on the fly, because a lot of people say, oh, just have a backup of sub plans. And like, well, things happen throughout the class that don't, you know, they make changes. Yeah. The students are asking different things. They moved in different directions. So I can't necessarily just say I've got this sub plan ready to go. I mean, it might be nice to have, but you can now customize it towards what you're really doing that moment. So wonderful thing. Okay, next up here, and this one is a kind of a big one, but it's content, right? I think the big thing, I've talked about this before, but one of the things that's so important about AI is we now have the opportunity to customize information for our students, right? To make things culturally and socially relevant to them. So whether that be worksheets, and again, I know the worksheet conversation, but paragraphs for readings, getting, you know, building scaffolding or content information, we don't have to rely on whatever the textbooks are giving to us, or even like a news article that we have to go and search out and find. We can just say, hey, you know, write me a paragraph about right now Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl, right? And you can make it relevant to, you know, include these grammar forms inside of here so that we can now talk about this, and it'll write all those things out. Whereas we might have spent an hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, trying to build that and make it nice. Now it's like, okay, we've got content. It's hitting our grammar points. It's hitting our language needs, whatever we're trying to do. And I can bring that into the class immediately without having to do, you know, I'll vet it, but I don't have to do tons and tons of work of thinking through everything. So what an amazing, amazing thing you can play with here.
Yeah, you can also ask the bot to make the media for you. I'm very big on images right now with AI. I'm having so much fun with them.
Yeah, and I've seen you've been sharing some of that stuff. It's cool. Oh, he shells on LinkedIn, kind of everybody. So come join us on LinkedIn.
I'd resisted LinkedIn for a while. But yeah, making media is just awesome right now. Even the stuff that doesn't necessarily come out the way you want it to, because it melds two cats together, for example. But that still adds to the class. It's amazing now that you can build a slide deck. You can use CuraPod. And if you haven't seen the most recent announcement, OpenAI is going to be releasing Sora, which is so cool. The tool to generate video. And I just think that's amazing what you could do to add a video of a scene that your students want to take a look at, or you want to show differences between this and that. And if you wanted to show the differences between a live scene with real human beings versus the AI, you can have students talk about that. I think the way that AI is helping us to build media, like for example, captions. Now you can have captions generated for something. All of that you can have it make for you.
And the other thing that's cool about this too, and Yishel, like your videos you put, or the pictures you put up of like the cat mechanics or something like that, right? And it's like, you can capture students' attention so well just by adding a little bit of weirdness to it, but still being on topic, right? And so that idea of the novelty, and before it's like, oh, I would love, that'd be cool, but like, I don't have an artistic skill. I can't draw that. I can't afford to pay someone to do that for this, you know, 5-minute activity. But now I can have really good, interesting, novel, engaging images and videos of pretty much anything. And I can capture my students' attention so much more quickly with it. So I love what that can do.
Brent, I think it's reminding me of the way that when Harry Potter, you know, was everyone's obsession. When it was new, and how children wanted to read and adults wanted to read, and they couldn't put it down because it was just so imaginative, right? And I think that AI does that for us so well. Like just with an image, for example. Yes, I can find a picture of people purchasing stuff, I don't know, at a restaurant, and I want the students to talk about that. But what if now I change the characters to chickens? And I always say everything's so much more fun with chickens or cats. And so make the characters cats, make the characters chickens. What might they be saying? Why would you possibly? I mean, there's just so much more imagination.
Yeah, for sure. So,
and creativity embedded in it.
Yeah, get a little bit wild, make it fun, and I think there's tons of little ideas you can just throw in. And by the way, you could ask your students, hey, what kind of characters do you want next time around? And they might throw out some weird ideas too. And
superheroes. Yeah.
So there's a lot to play with there.
Something new is happening. Ooh. The 100th episode is coming up, and we want to hear from you.
Yeah, so we're asking people to share 1 to 2 minute voice recordings that share your go-to teaching tip, right? So if you want to be on the show, if you've been listening, if you've been a fan, if you've been out there, this is kind of our, hopefully we want to bring the community together a little bit, hear your voice on the show, and so share your tip.
Yeah, we're thinking things like your favorite activity, something that just works, a strategy to connect or engage your students. Any other tip that you think you couldn't live without?
Yeah, and so we can't necessarily guarantee that every submission will make it on the show, but we want to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. And so if you go to speakpipe.com/diesel, that's, of course, always the spelling is an issue, is D-I-E-S-O-L, or there will be a link in the show notes. But it's really easy. You can just click a button, and you can leave a voice message for us. We've already been getting some great ones in, and so you'll have about a week or so. If you listen to this at the time of this recording, you'll have about a week or so to get it in. If you want to share, it doesn't have to be too crazy, but like a tool, a tip, a strategy, whatever it is that you've got going on that you like to use.
Or let it be crazy. Oh, why can't yes. it be crazy?
Sorry, when I said that, I meant it doesn't have to be too crazy, and like you don't need to spend all day long thinking about it. I'm just saying, like, what's the one thing you go to, right? You jump into this thing, and we really want to hear. And I think you know, for our 100th episode, that's really what we wanted to focus on, is like what people out there are doing and what they really love and what they find is really effective in their classroom. So please give us a share speakpipe.com/diesel. And again, link is in the show notes. Okay, Michelle, we've got a couple last things. So activities, right? Building out activities. If you wanted to use AI to come up with creative activities, games, et cetera, to interact with the day's content. So basically, you can already go in, if you've been kind of following these steps inside of Copilot or GPT or whatever else it is that you're using, you can then go say, hey, let's take a look at this lesson plan for, you know, day 10 or whatever else it is. And I want to make some games around this. What are some suggestions for things that this class can do for some games, right? And you could tell it what you have access to. So say, hey, in our classroom, we have a projector, we have giant whiteboards, and I have a bunch of Nerf balls, right? And so you can say, oh, you can make this kind of game, or you can make this kind of, you know, physical activity or whatever else it is, and it will help you come up with things that are a little bit different, right, than maybe what you would have come up with yourself. And then, of course, you can say, hey, can you also make the rules for me and make sure these rules are easy to understand, that it doesn't take too long to get started. And Michelle, we were talking about this a little bit before, but like simplify the language or funify the language.
Funify.
Yeah, make it connect to the students, right? So you can turn these activities into something really fun that maybe you hadn't thought about before, and make it some approaches that change things.
Yeah, one of the cool examples of this is that I wanted my students who are having trouble, they're beginning level students, they were having trouble with tag questions and understanding that, especially from a Spanish speaking perspective, they get so confused. And I just think in general, tag questions are difficult for students to understand at first. So I asked ChatGPT to give me a game that would require the students to do some kind of physical activity to try to remember the concept of tag questions, and it said place two trash cans, one with yes and one with no, and have the students ask each other questions, and as they're answering, they have to throw something into the trash can based on what they think that response should agree with.
Oh.
And so I just thought, wait a minute, I would have never come up with that. I would have said, okay, let me try to figure out with a dialogue. I would have kind of stuck to a very probably a very paper-based activity, yeah, or dialogue-based, like, but having them stand up and move, now they would understand.
Right.
So activities and games.
Get some of that TPR in there, yeah. I love that. So, yeah, so make sure to add in comments about what you have available in your room. I said that thing about the Nerf balls just kind of off the top of my head, and then that's almost exactly what it's doing for you too, right? It's like trash cans.
Yeah,
trash cans.
Like I would have never thought of, yeah, trash can. Cool, so we can also use AI for classroom management, depending on how what setup you have. You might have to create classroom roles. I'm in my classroom, we have roles. Every student has a role to play and to for the week, and then that role might switch the following week if I have the same students. You can gamify the systems if you want to have students earn points for keeping track of how much English they're speaking. And then this idea came from our guest Sally Finkley, who spoke about English war games.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how she creates roles, and her style is very in-depth, and I haven't yet had the chance to fully incorporate English war games in my classroom as a gamification strategy, but I've started with roles. And initially I had my own roles that I wrote out, but they were just kind of boring and they lacked that funification, I guess. And so I asked ChatGPT this week to take those roles that I wanted. For example, somebody who's taking care of supplies, a classroom leader that picks volunteers so that I'm not picking volunteers, or that they can decide, you know, when to read instructions for something, or a timekeeper who keeps us on time before breaks. And ChatGPT gave me a little bit snazzier language, and it even gave me ideas for icons that I could print out to designate those, because that students like stickers and badges. And I thought, that's actually really cool. My students would love that. And I'm talking here about adults. They would love that. So you can have your AI tool build out a student rotation system for jigsaws, perhaps, if you have a large class and you want to come up with groupings and then switch those around, or dialogue partners if you have a roster with the names, and make sure that students get a chance to rotate with different peers.
Yeah,
a lot of ways that you can manage your classroom, or at least get ideas, because again, you're not stuck with what it gives you. It gives you a place to start with.
Yeah, I love that, because you can really customize a lot, right? I like that idea. I've posted about this. I've tested it a few times, like the jigsaw rotations, right? And you say, hey, I've got all these students and they have to mix up into groups. And the next time they meet, I want them to be with different students in four times or whatever, right? And it can actually do that stuff for you in a pretty quick way.
For large classes? Yeah, for large classes, if you're teaching a class of 30 students, I recently had a teacher in my class when I was training. They have to teach 60 students at a time. Mm. So this would actually help them to try to incorporate some kind of group work system that maybe would work well.
Love it, yes.
With 60 students.
Lots of cool stuff to play for classroom management. But again, thinking about like all the things that you need to do before you go into classes, like there's so much that you can save time with, right? These are things we kind of take for granted as like, okay, this is just going to be part of everything. But it's like, okay, well, I can save a bunch of time. I can make these quicker. I can get some different versions, things that maybe I wouldn't have thought of by myself. And so I hope that all of these tips are some useful ways for everybody to take a look at some ways that they can use AI before they step into the classroom.
All right, it is time for our fun finds. And this time, Brent, I have Belle Sisowski. Have you ever heard of her?
No.
She is I believe she's Malaysian. I found her through Instagram. I love ethnic blends of music, and also traditional instrument type, or the use of traditional instruments. And she blends Southeast Asian traditional ethnic instruments with pop and EDM. So it's actually like the best of all worlds, in my view, because I could listen to it at the gym and it pumps me up. But she is awesome, and she's a one woman band. You can check her out on YouTube. She's amazing.
Very cool. Okay. So mine is, I'm finally going for a beauty product here. Mine is the Tangle Teaser. TEEZER.
Could I use that?
You probably could. Yeah.
For beards.
No, it's actually for hair. It's actually like designed for women, but it's like a scalp exfoliator. So I'm going to get a little bit gross here, but I have stopped shampooing my hair because I just think like all these chemicals that I'm putting in has been pulling my hair out, and I'm getting bald as I'm getting older. Mm-hmm. And so I stopped shampooing, and I'm only using I'm trying to scrub and, you know, keep my head clean. Mm-hmm. And so I found this thing that's like an exfoliator. It kind of keeps your head, it balances out the oils, I guess, or whatever. But like, it's just a brush with like the little spikes on it. But it's pretty comfortable. It feels nice, like after you get out of the shower, or you can do it inside of the shower. So Tangle Teaser if you're in such a need.
All right. For the show notes and other episodes, you can check out diesel.org/99. And you can find us on Instagram
at DieselPod.
at Diesel Pod.
You can find us on Instagram. Sorry. Just go, just go out there and find us. Yeah, Diesel Pod is the place. You can find me on most of the socials at Brent G. Warner.
And you can find me on most socials at @ixy_pixy. That's IXY_PIXY. Or LinkedIn.
Yes, LinkedIn. All right.
Ishel Reyes.
We'll have links to that in the show notes as well. So, Ishel, for the 99th episode, we haven't really talked about this. I just want to squeeze this in at the last minute here. We are making some changes as we come up to 100. And so I want people to jump onto the website, take a look. We'll you might have seen or recognized that we're making a few changes to the format of the show. But we are changing a few things. So we'll throw it out to the audience to see if you can find what parts we're changing. Nothing too major, but a little bit fun. So for the 99th episode, before things do change, we'd like to say in English, thank you for tuning in.
For tuning in
to the Deez.
Wait, what are we doing?
We're supposed to be in line with each other here. Come on. It's like a sentence. Ready?
Thank you.
Okay, let's line it up. 3, 2, 1. Thank you.
For
tuning in.
We're tuning
are
in.
You saying it a, are you intentionally saying it a different time
know.
Than me? Like,
no, I'm not. I'm saying it at the same time.
Are we delayed somehow?
I really am. I don't think so. You're.
3, 2, 1. Thank you for tuning in
to
the Diesel Podcast.
We still can't get it right.
I don't know what's.
Wait.
Can you do this in person? can you say things at the same thing as people? I'm just really wondering if there's a lag here or if there's like
no
you're just like pranking me.
I'm not pranking you. Wait, pause.
You're 100% pranking me.
No, I'm not. No.
All right, that's it. Episode 99. Thanks, everybody. Have a good one.